Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets, and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 88, Episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially, off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News.
Controversial.
Yeah, those are, you know, they're very widely beloved organizations with our audience, so I had to do it to him. It's Tuesday, June 23rd, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Laptop Jack, a.k.a. Headphone Jack, a.k.a. Aux Jack. I don't know. And I'm thrilled to be joined by today's co-host, Sarah June.
Hello. I believe it is Tuesday, June 25th.
Is it?
I believe it is.
Huh. Well, agree to disagree, I guess. Sarjun, it's so good to see you.
It's so
as
great to
always.
See you.
You're filling in for Miles. You're doing a great job.
Thanks.
You're just doing an amazing impression of him upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Eating a venison bar and you know, talking about beats.
Talking about beats nonstop. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented Roz Dresfalez.
Hey! Happy Pride Month.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost over.
It is. How do you feel about that?
You know, Pride Month, you know, I live Pride Month 12 months out of the year.
Yeah.
And I hope everyone else will join me because, you know, as soon as the month's over, it's like, hey, I'm a drag queen. Hire me.
Yeah.
I'm still horny.
I still need work. I got bills to pay. Wigs are expensive.
All right, we will be sure to. I believe this booking had absolutely nothing to do with Pride Month.
No.
We will disabuse you of that notion by having you back immediately.
I would love to.
But we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we are going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. Oregon has too much weed, according to the news. I'm like, is there any such thing? Because
I'm like,
cool.
Jeez.
Cause I love ganj. Anyways,
puff puff.
Right, Anna. Sometimes my entire job is just trying to make Anna like want to jump out the window. We're gonna talk about the fact that Warner Brothers has hired a replacement for their CEO who was exchanging sexual favors for access to roles, and it's a woman. So a little bit of good news in the old Benghazi.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. it's better news than the previous news that their CEO was hitting on actresses and trying to get them to have sex with him in exchange for roles.
Pretty bad news.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to talk about a troubling trend in the U.S. military. We're going to talk about Pete Buttigieg facing questions over race in South Bend. We're going to talk about the Bakersfield Californian, a small newspaper being bought by mysterious Canadian publishers. Although Canadians can't be evil, so I think we're good there.
See, that's the myth that's going to bring about our downfall.
That's how they get you. They're right there just waiting to invade. You always say that. We're going to talk about 7-Eleven because they are now delivering Slurpees. We're going to talk about Sylvester Stallone for some reason. Maybe not. We're going to talk about Toy Story 4, finally, because it is controversial in the conservative community. But first, Roz, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
You know, I don't know why I was just sitting there the other day and I was thinking, what was the lead actress from the TV show The Secret Life of Alex Mack? Do you remember that show on Nickelodeon?
Yes.
I remember the show. Yes.
I couldn't think of what her name was.
Is it the Amber Tamblyn?
No. She was also in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Julia Stiles.
No.
The other one.
Yes.
The other one.
Okay.
The sister.
The sister.
I couldn't remember what her name was. I'm sure she's, you know, out there.
I haven't seen her face, but
Larissa Olenek is my guess.
Yes.
Olenek.
That's what I got. That's what I figured out. So those are the things that go through my mind.
There it is. She is the sister from 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah.
I never watched that show. I just saw ads for it. Is it a good show?
I don't remember.
Does she melt into a puddle? Is
yes,
she the one?
That's
yes,
the one that's thing one I remember. Powers.
What?
Yeah. She can melt into a liquid and like go under doors.
Is that her only power?
I don't know.
I want to say she had others.
Yeah. I don't want to say anything definitive because the secret heads out there are losing their mind. Just
yeah.
Screaming at their earbuds. And that doesn't work, guys, so stop doing that. What is something you think is underrated?
I think that the movie... Oh, I just recently saw the movie in The Intruder, which is Dennis Quaid as like...
You said The Intruder.
The Intruder.
When somebody comes in and then leaves.
Yes. Yeah, sorry, guys. I didn't mean to come in wrong door.
Ooh! but that like first 5 seconds when you think they're like there to do something bad, terrifying. Like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, my friend just like asked me to go see this movie like where Dennis Quaid is like a crazy man that like he like lives in this house and then he sells the house and then he's like crazy. And it
totally intrusive.
So, yeah, so like I Googled it and I'm like, I think it had like 33% or something like that on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, wow.
So underrated. And then I saw it and I was like, I had the time of my life.
Oh, really?
I really enjoyed it.
So he intrudes on the house. He keeps coming back to visit the people he sold the house to.
Well, yeah, and there's a twist, so I don't want to ruin it.
Okay.
But it seems like a lot of people didn't like it, but I had fun.
I can't wait for the sequel, The Extruder.
The Extruder.
The Extrusion.
The Extrusion.
What is something you think is overrated?
Mansions.
Mm. You like a more cozy home.
Hard agree.
I don't know why anybody needs all those rooms. It's just more rooms that like an intruder could be in.
Right.
Absolutely.
Let's be honest.
Oh,
if you have a mansion, how do you know that it's empty?
Yeah.
When you're in there alone.
Exactly.
Because you're alone. In
and like maybe if you had like 30 people that lived in your house, you need 30 rooms. But otherwise, why do you need all those rooms?
Mm. Nobody needs them.
No.
Yeah.
It's to put space between you and the spouse that you despise.
Yeah. And in which case, you know,
true.
Get a condo. Get your own.
Get two condos.
Yeah.
Is this something you're experiencing right now?
I've been sitting in my mansion and I'm like, why do I need all these rooms? Like, why do I need a movie theater here? Like, I can go to another place to see a movie.
Right.
I don't know. No, not at all. I do just think about that. Like, once this career of being a drag queen that talks about ghosts for a living really takes off and it's time to buy a mansion, should I or should I give it all to people that need it?
Well, you should buy a haunted one.
Yes.
That feels right.
Yeah.
A haunted mansion.
I was going to say.
Because then it's kind of occupied.
Yeah, there you go. Roommates.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. But yeah, I do feel like the bigger the house, the spookier it is if haunted,
mm-hmm.
unless it's like a modern like ugly monstrosity.
Well, the best ghost mansion is the Winchester Mystery House.
Right.
That will not be surpassed.
Yeah.
And that's got a lot of rooms.
A lot.
But they're to confuse the ghosts somehow. But it just seems like it's more places for the ghosts to go.
That's right.
Yes.
But it was built, she built it continuously to like confuse ghosts. And there's like doors that open to nowhere. So the ghosts will be like, whoa.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
The ghosts will fall and break their necks
or something. Like, are these ghosts that can't walk through walls?
I don't know.
She had a very specific set of rules in mind as she was building the...
These are things that I talk about on my podcast, Ghosted by Roz Dresfeles, available everywhere. We talk about things like this. Like, I don't know what ghosts can do and can't do. And, you know, people always think like, oh, when you die, like that's the outfit you're going to wear for eternity. But like, I don't know if that's true. Like, I'm always just trying to figure these out.
Do you appear to others as yourself when you die or perhaps as your younger self? And if your younger self, how is that chosen? What incarnation of you it is? Yeah. What if you were a ghost baby, even if you died as an adult?
Oh, man.
Someone just sent me a story about this guy. Okay, I think the story was his grandpa had visited him like as a full body apparition spirit wearing this suit jacket, this tux jacket that the grandpa had gifted this guy that wrote to me. Mm-hmm. So he had the jacket like in his closet, but he saw his grandpa wearing that jacket. So it's like, can clothes be a ghost even if it's not like the clothes aren't dead and buried in the ground? I'm real confused.
Yeah, there's so many questions. There's a lot of questions for this guy's dead grandpa.
Your search history may be about the secret life of Alex Mack, but my search history is going to be, can clothes be a ghost after this episode? Because that is a great question.
Totally.
So we were talking before we started recording. Are you a believer in the paranormal?
Totally. I think it's just fun. Like, I don't know. I don't take my life too seriously. I wear huge wigs for a living. I'm just someone that likes to have a good time, you
know? It would be funny if you were like, that's ridiculous. Yeah. Ghosts?
I know. That's where I draw the line. But, yeah, I think it's fun just to believe that anything is possible. Why not while we're here?
Right.
You know? And I think I've heard a lot of people that don't believe in ghosts that listen to my show, and they just enjoy listening to people that believe what they're saying. When they talk about these experiences, they truly believe it happened.
Right.
And whether you believe it or not, like, it's a reason we watch horror movies. It's like, we just enjoy listening to people being spooked.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm scared right now.
Even people who say, like, I wouldn't say I believe in ghosts, like, actively, but I am still scared of them. Like, I'm scared, isn't spooked out by creepy ghost stories.
I had to explain the concept of a ghost to an 8-year-old whose family is, like, not at all religious.
Ooh.
So, you know, I told her that I had dug up a dead dog in my yard, which is true. I found the bones of a dog.
Oh, my God.
That somebody had buried. I mean, this house is extremely old, so, you know, and they're just bones, and there's not that many of them, but... you know, she was like, what did you do with the bones? And I was like, well, you know, I'm going to rebury it so that its spirit could be at peace or whatever. And she was like, what's a spirit? And I was like, it's a ghost. And she was like, well, a ghost can't like do anything. So could a ghost dog bite you? And I was like, I guess not. And she was like, then who cares?
Right.
The corporeality and, you know, the difference between like a flesh body and a spirit body. These were all like very new concepts to her.
Yeah,
she was like, how does it haunt you if it can't touch you? And I was like, in your mind.
I know. That's like, it's one of these things where no one knows the answers. So, I mean, all you can do is
especially not dumb kids.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. You can just speculate what things are. But I just have so many questions all the time. And it's just, I don't know, it's fun. I just think it's fun.
Are you a horror fan?
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're having a good moment right now. There's like a lot of horror movies coming out.
Yeah, I feel like it's starting to vary up. I used to wonder like why there weren't horror movies set in the city. They were always set in like the suburbs and like rural. And I think that's like true of America, and maybe that's because that's where most of like the evil shit in American history was done, was like on farms and like in the woods against Native Americans or something, like deep in the history. Whereas, like, British horror movies often take place in the city, but I thought
they were all on the moors.
Yeah, maybe they are.
I thought the ghosts hung out on moors mostly.
But like, there's there aren't that many haunted beaches in U.S. horror, are there?
That you know of,
right? Yeah.
I kind of think every beach is haunted. A lot of people die in the ocean.
Oh, could you imagine you're swimming and a ghost grabs your leg?
Absolutely. I imagine it.
That's why I don't go in the water.
Yeah.
That's why I do go in the water.
Ooh,
when I get filled up by a ghost.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we even have stories of people having sex with ghosts. So, like, we've had it on my podcast.
A lot of people have sex with ghosts.
It turns out, yeah.
I think that was Dan Aykroyd's original idea for Ghostbusters.
I did read that.
The blowjob scene seems like it's like completely tacked on and stupid to us, but like his initial idea was like, what if I got blown by a ghost?
Yeah.
Like everyone's like, whoa. Okay.
Premise, I get blown by a ghost. Right. It's called Nutbusters.
And then,
wait.
Ghost blowers.
Let's revamp this for children.
It was initially called Ghost Smashers, and then they called it Ghostbusters. To make room for the nut busting puns, probably. Roz, what is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false, or vice versa?
That ghosts are fake.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I have a whole show dedicated to it.
Yeah. Do you have a ghost story that is the most kind of convincing to you, or like?
Well, my own.
Okay.
I've had many.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have like a billion stories. I don't want to take up too much time. Just listen to the show if you want to hear some of mine. But yeah, I do have one about like a Ouija board that I bought from a thrift store that like weird stuff started happening. I did have the spirit of my grandmother living in the house that I grew up in, and so like seeing her one time, and then like just little things happening around the house, like so from such a young age, I've always just had the idea that spirits are a thing. And
where'd you grow up?
Michigan.
Okay, yeah. Seems haunted.
I mean, every place is haunted.
Yeah.
Hollywood, honey, this neighborhood, there's people that talk about unfinished business. There are people that are trying to get that 15 minutes of fame, and they didn't get it, and now they're still trying to be seen.
They're the ones dressing up in all the Iron Man costumes.
That's right.
You take a picture with somebody, you think it's a guy, but it's a ghost.
Yeah, take off the mask. It might not be a face.
All right, let's talk about another haunted state in these United States, Oregon.
Haunted by marijuana.
Haunted by the ghost of marijuana.
Haunted by the ghost of a bubble industry.
There you go. So Oregon is reporting too much weed?
Too much.
Bunch of narcs, man.
Yeah, well, in states where it's legal to smoke pot, which is quite a few now, you can only smoke pot grown in that state.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so Oregon can't ship their weed to California, and Oregon can't ship their weed to Nevada, and they can't ship their weed to, like, Florida. But it's way, way, way easier to grow weed in Oregon.
I wish you had
Oregon.
Just kept naming states all 50 of them.
No, those are states where it's now legal. Like, you can
smoke
weed in California, but it's got to be grown here.
Right.
So, I mean, it's hard to not grow weed in Oregon. There's so many fucking growers there. It's like the best place to grow weed in the country, basically. So they just have so much pot. I don't know if you guys have been to Portland lately, but you could buy huge, like a gram pre-roll for like $2. It's
really crazy.
Yeah. It's because they have, and there were like, at the time that it went legal in Oregon, there were more dispensaries than bars in Portland.
Wow.
And Portland has a lot of fucking bars.
Then
they all closed because, you know, people were like, you know, everyone thought they were going to get rich quick with the fucking green rush. And now, you know, the weed is so cheap. It's like, it would take apparently like at the rate that Oregon consumes weed, I think it would take them like 6 years to smoke all this weed. But you can help.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a great tourism board.
Yeah, it is.
They should be, we have too much weed. Come help us smoke it. Should be their state motto.
Please, someone smoke this weed.
Somebody smoke me.
I mean, the mask is green.
I was just thinking about like growing up in the 90s, like how much Jim Carrey quoting used to happen.
Oh my God. Still happens.
Somebody
for me.
Stop me. That was like such a thing.
Alrighty then.
Alrighty
was a big one
then.
In my house.
Yeah. Totally.
Do not go in there.
That movie does not hold up, by the way.
Does it?
Ace Ventura.
Pet Detective?
The first one. Yeah. The Finkel Einhorn, you know.
Right.
It's like a super...
Not cool?
It's really not cool. It's like super transphobic.
Yeah.
Like, I totally forgot about the whole plot of Ace Ventura, which is that like there's an evil detective who then turns out to be a trans woman, basically. That's like the big reveal at the end.
Yeah.
But then, you know, there's also like a lot of like Silence of the Lambs jokes. And I was like, I thought this was supposed to be a kid's movie.
Yeah.
I didn't understand any of those jokes.
Oh, God.
What a Sports Nut is still one of my favorite jokes of all time in movie history when the kicker's mom is showing like all these like newspaper cutouts and just like the most obvious like serial killer like den with like crazy stuff all
red
over the
yarn.
Wall. Yeah, red yarn. And she just turns to him and goes, what a Sports Nut, huh? Because it's all football based. Anyways, that's...
Let's all talk about our favorite scenes from Rhinocentura. One and two, go.
I do wonder...
It's the rhino scene. It's the rhino scene. We can all say it.
I remember that. Where he's inside
iconic.
Of a rhino.
Yeah, he's like inside of a fake rhino and then he gets born out of the rhino's butt.
I remember that.
It's a classic.
Okay. Right.
And people are watching.
And people are watching and he's sort of, you know, he's being born. I mean, Jim Carrey is... a legend. And if he gets, you know, if it turns out that that he has sexually assaulted people, then boy, I'll be sad.
Wait, really?
No. I said if. I worry every day that Jim Carrey will, as they say, get me too'd.
Yeah, they do.
Because, you know, all of our heroes are falling, and Jim Carrey certainly was my hero.
Yeah.
But as of now, I have never heard anything about this. I do not want to slander Mr. Carrey.
Somebody stop you.
I want you to know.
Hey, he was asking. Somebody stop him. So that's wild that you specifically worry about that.
Oh, yeah. And also about... there's like Paul Giamatti, you know, just actors I
like.
Just actors I really like. I'm like, God damn it, Paul Giamatti, please, 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 please don't have ever raped anyone.
Yeah.
No.
I just don't want these men to let me down.
I do feel like...
Sorry, that brought it down a little bit. We were talking about too much weed.
I do feel like communicating in Jim Carrey lines was what I learned instead of Spanish. Like whatever, like the language learning part of my brain.
Oh, that was a course in the 90s.
Yeah. It was just an informal course that, and then it was funny. I hung out with my wife's like guy friends who were like her guy friends in high school.
Yeah.
And like they're grown men in their 30s, but they're still
using
doing Dumb and Dumber quotes because they just haven't seen each other since high school. So like they're just like, pick up
where we left off.
Yeah. It was pretty funny. I do wonder what does a town post the Green Rush? Like I've been to a town in Arizona. Talk about haunted. This town, Jerome, Arizona. Have you heard about that?
Mm-mm.
It's this town that was like massive for a little while it had a functioning copper mine, and then the copper mine like went bust, or copper prices like went to shit, and all the mines like closed down. And it went from like 50,000 to like 100 in the span of like a couple months. And it was just, it's the most haunted like ghost town. It's a really cool town.
Dude, every mining town is like that. West Virginia is full of crazy ghost towns like that.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it was a huge, it was a mining boom town. And then it just died.
Yeah. I wonder what.
You have West Virginia?
West Virginia with coal. And then in Arizona, like with copper.
West Virginia is where the Mothman is.
Mm-hmm. He was probably a miner. I'm so scared of the Mothman.
Yeah.
I was too young when I read the Mothman prophecies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's really scary. He's got
really
a guy
spooky.
With big wings and
it's
he flies
a vision that happens and then like massive disasters happen, right? Is that the story with Mothman?
I'm just scared of seeing him. In
with
the book
Mothman.
I don't fully know that one. The thing with me is like I'm not an expert. I just listen to this stuff all the time. I consume a lot of ghosts and urban legends.
The Mothman is like Bigfoot, where you see him and then people die mysteriously in the woods and then people think it's the Mothman.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something in West Virginia where it's like an apparition somebody saw and then there was a giant bridge collapse and it was like right next to each other. So people assumed that they were somehow related. But West Virginia is haunted as fuck is what I'm getting at. But the reason I brought up a ghost town is like a town that was populated by the Green Rush and like built by the Green Rush and then becomes a ghost town because of the Green Rush. Like, is that still spooky?
I'm going to say, yeah. Yeah, I think that's spooky.
I feel like everyone's too chill and like.
I don't know. Weed can make you paranoid.
That's true. And crabby sometimes. Cranky. I've known some people who are.
Do you guys smoke
very
weed?
Cranky.
Oh, yeah.
I don't.
You do?
Uh-huh.
I don't. I used to.
I did.
Are you
too.
Sad?
No, I'm sober.
Like, oh.
4 years.
Good job.
Wow, yeah. Congratulations.
But weed's a great thing.
Yeah.
Weed's fun.
I fully support it.
I'm reading about the Mothman, and yeah. Like, before that, people just saw it and were like, I saw, like, a big man flying around
I
with
seen
big
the
wings.
Mothman.
And then the Silver Bridge, 1967, collapsed. And that's kind of it. But yeah, people are looking for Mothman.
Looking for that Mothman.
Mm-hmm.
It's a man with big wings. Maybe it was just like a cosplayer or something. It was just like getting ready for a convention.
Yeah. they have lots of conventions in West Virginia.
Yeah, or like maybe it was like a Ren Faire costume.
Right.
Just like gone awry.
It could be one of those like murals that are real popular on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like anytime I'm on Tinder, it's just like a bunch of people like standing within these murals with like
with
the big
wings.
Right.
Yeah. God, influencer murals. Scourge on our
influencer
society.
Culture. Christ.
Influencer walls.
Yes. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And Warner Brothers, you guys. So there was a story from, I guess, like 4 months ago where their CEO was revealed to have been texting with an actress, basically promising her roles and considerations for roles in exchange for sex.
Not even the roles themselves? Just
right.
consideration
for
them?
Well, so the way it came out is that she was, you know, getting angry about it. Because she hadn't gotten the roles that she was expecting to get. And he was like, God, why are you so crazy? Type thing. And so he was fired very rightfully. And the studio has spent like the past 4 months looking for a replacement. And in a surprise decision is how it's being reported in all the trades, they announced that it is going to be Anne Sarnoff, who is coming over from BBC. So this is going to be the first time Warner Brothers has had a woman CEO. It is Warner Brothers or Warner Media merged with AT&T. And like this is like CNN and other Warner Media is like CNN and, you know, that whole
CNN
family of
stuff.
Sites and stuff. But all of the CEOs in that family are white dudes. So people were like, it'd be great if you could find a leader who wasn't a white dude. And lo and behold, you guys.
Where did they find her? Where did they find a
from
woman?
The BBC.
What? What is that?
The BBC?
The
British.
British Podcasting Association?
Yeah. Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They found a female podcaster?
A female podcaster. That's right.
So that just now any podcaster can become the CEO of a, you know, international media company?
I think she was one of
She's
the
a podcaster?
Top people.
She's a top podcaster.
Top podcaster. Yes. The best podcaster. Mm. And, marijuana advocate.
I don't know if women can podcast personally. I don't think
you've
it's
always
a
said that.
Yeah, I've always said that.
Even when we reached out to you to come guest host, you were like, I don't know.
I was like, I don't know. Yeah. I was like, don't you know any dudes?
Right. I find my voice annoying. yeah, so I don't know. This is cool. It's weird that this has to be like so anomalous that it's being like seen as a surprise. And there's also the fact that even if she succeeds, people will probably say it's an anomaly. Like that's something you sometimes hear with Black Panther now. At least I've heard, I don't hear it from people being like Black Panther was an anomaly, but I hear it from people who are like, I was meeting with a producer who said Black Panther was an anomaly because
I don't understand how you could think Black Panther was an anomaly.
I know. It was like such a huge like cultural event.
It just kind of like did well like around the world.
Right. Yes. Anyways, shout out to Warner Brothers for doing a somewhat good thing.
Good job hiring a CEO.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing is anytime you're like, yes, this CEO, I love them.
Yeah.
Like they've probably murdered people.
Yeah.
I think you have to. Like to become CEO, they're like, kill that homeless guy. If you don't do it,
what happened to the trust?
It took
you.
Them 4 months to find a woman who would kill a homeless
right,
guy
exactly.
in front of them.
Yeah.
What happened to the frog? Remember the frog?
Yeah, I thought the frog was the CEO.
I think the frog was
the
up
frog
for consideration, but
Michigan J-Frog got me too, guys.
Man, come on. Think about the frog community.
I know. Mm-hmm.
Kermit.
Exactly.
All those other frogs.
Kermit and
I mean, he said
Kermit
it's not
and
easy, and he wasn't lying. U.S. military, in case you can't tell, Roz, this is the part where we talk about serious news.
Oh, okay. Then I'll be
act.
Quiet.
So the U.S. military, there was a report coming from like military thinkers and people within the Pentagon where they are advocating that the Joint Chiefs start thinking about nuclear weapons again as a strategically viable option, basically. Using nuclear weapons could create conditions for decisive results.
That is
a quote.
I can't argue with that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. very decisive.
Perhaps nuclear weapons were effective the first time they were used, but I view that as an anomaly.
Right. There you go. One of the theories on why there hasn't been a major international war between global powers since World War II is that that's when those powers got nuclear weapons and everyone's been too terrified of being the one who ends the world to like start shit openly with one another. So everything's been Cold War, where one side discreetly arms opponents in wars against the other and horrible, horrible things happen. But so that's why people are kind of viewing this as an important barrier that's being crossed. And the Pentagon had the good
sense.
These
are real thought leaders over here at the fucking Pentagon.
Yeah, but so there it is actually. Like, I don't really think about the fact that there are like military philosophers, essentially. Like, there's this guy, Herman Kahn, who was like pro use of nuclear weapons back like in the 50s. He was thought to be the inspiration for Dr. Strangelove, and he is basically coming back into favor.
For who in Dr. Strangelove?
For just the ideas in Dr. Strangelove, the ideas of like, yeah, fuck it, let's use a...
Yeah, what if we all just nuked each other?
Right. But his idea is that, a quote from him was, "My guess is that nuclear weapons will be used sometime in the next 100 years, but that their use is much more likely to be small and limited than widespread and unconstrained."
Because when you think atom bomb, you think small and limited.
Right.
Small, limited scope of destruction.
Yeah. So they're
hardly a blemish.
Yeah. And, you know, once wars start, they usually people are usually like, okay, we weren't serious. And,
once
one nuclear weapon is
one bomb goes, and then everyone's like, whoa, I thought we were just kidding around.
Anyways, Kahn is a very controversial figure, and now he's apparently becoming fashionable again with
fashionable.
Yeah. Sexy.
Meet the dapper new wave of Cold War theorists right, advocating exactly. for nuclear bomb use in the 22nd century.
Yes. So, I don't know. It's just scary. Hopefully, mutually assured destruction will be enough to keep us from dropping nuclear weapons on each other until Skynet takes over and kills us all.
How do I vote out Herman Kahn?
Yeah, I don't. He's dead. I think
He's canceled.
He's canceled. Herman Kahn is canceled. And yeah, the Pentagon immediately took this down, so now it's behind a paywall. they legitimately just moved it behind a paywall because they didn't want the paper
well,
where
that's
they're
one
like
way to
we should
that no
nuke
one will
each
see
other.
It.
Yeah, they didn't want anybody to. They didn't want that going viral, so they moved it behind a.
Too late.
Yeah.
It's really something that, you know, at the precipice of another Middle Eastern war for oil, we've now just moved to being like, but maybe nukes are fine.
Right.
You know, maybe, like, oil is at this point such a big deal that we're like, maybe we could just nuke, you know? Like, yes, they're going to nuke us if we nuke them, but I really want it. I really want the oil.
I want it so bad. Yeah, I mean, there's been lots of times throughout history. Like, I always just assumed because, in retrospect, they've only been used those two times. I just assumed that nobody really even considered using nuclear weapons. But there's been a number of times where people were in a room where, like, five people were like, we should drop the nuclear weapon on Russia now. And, like, the two people making the decision, like, pushed back on it enough to keep that from happening. So
how many times do you think that's happened?
Probably, I don't know. I only know about the one, the Cuban Missile Crisis, but it was very much like the underdog side was don't end the world.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess that's...
Minority opinion.
Right.
Don't end the
exactly.
world.
Exactly. Let's talk about Pete Buttigieg, guys. What do you guys think of Pete Buttigieg?
Fuck that guy.
Uh-huh.
He sucks. Yes,
yeah. I'm not so sure. I'm not sure yet.
You don't have a fully formed take.
Not
I think
a full
that's a
formed take.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm still leaving.
I got one.
I like
that
gay
guy
people.
Sucks.
Yeah, there you go. So one of the first sort of
that guy sucks in 20 languages or whatever.
Nice.
Thanks.
Burned. You've been burned.
Pete is going to cry tonight after he listens to this podcast.
So one of the first sustained negative stories about him has been that the community of people of color in South Bend have not had the positive, sparkling experience that the media has made it out to be, and that a lot of...
Did they see the Vogue shoot, though?
What's the Vogue shoot? I haven't seen it.
Pete Buttigieg in Vogue?
No. Does he look awesome?
Yeah, he's got photo shoot. He's got a great photo shoot. I think it was Vogue and not GQ, but him and Beto had a really splashy spread in Vogue, I believe.
Are they voguing?
Yeah. Yeah, Beto's voguing in a canyon, and Pete's voguing with his tie thrown over his shoulder or whatever. They're it's like Annie Leibovitz took these photos.
Right.
Oh, wow.
So
anyways, they should just look at that if they're mad at him.
Right. And then you just magically feel better.
Yeah. You're like, well, this guy's maybe hot. I don't know.
Yeah. Recently, police shot somebody to death. It was a black man with a knife to death.
What?
But we don't know, we can't confirm the report that he was running at them with a knife because for some reason the police officer was not using his body camera. And that's something that he's been, Buttigieg has been like, I hear you on the body cameras, guys. We're gonna work on it. And he hasn't gotten it so that they use them all the time. So he had a angry town hall where the black community came out and was shouting him down, and he got very emotional, and he portrayed it as though this was coming out of nowhere, that people's anger was, I think he used the word hurled, they're hurling their anger at him, and it's no, this has been an issue that people have been talking about for a while. So.
Yeah, this is it's an emotional situation and an extremely huge problem in everywhere across the country.
Right. Yeah. So one of the overall, the big turnaround that he's credited with, a lot of people from South Bend say that came about because he invested in the white parts of town and neglected some of the underserved parts of the community. And so it kind of ties into a larger narrative that he should probably be aware of and willing to speak on and not portray it as though this is coming out of nowhere. So, he's a pretty eloquent dude who seems to not have everything figured out on this particular story, which is obviously one of the most important parts of being a leader in America today. Finally, we want to talk about the Bakersfield Californian. Yeah, they've been purchased. Good news for everybody.
I love when my newspaper is purchased by somebody who does not appear to exist on the internet. basically, I think we talked about this. I'm sure I brought this up one of the last times I was on the podcast about how the LA Weekly was bought by a pretty new and pretty shell corporation-like group called Seminole Media Publishers. And they basically bought it about a year and a half ago, laid off almost everybody, and then started advertising for contributors, for people to write for free. And they're basically just using the newspaper circulation numbers to sell ads as people stop reading the paper because they no longer produce any content. Basically now the same thing has happened to the Bakersfield Californian. It got bought by a Canadian media company called California Sound News Media or Sound California News Media, depending on where you're looking. Yeah. So there's a good thing about it by Julia Wick in the LA Times, Essential California newsletter. You know, one thing is that the Bakersfield Californian is a locally owned paper. It's been a family paper in Bakersfield for 120 years. And it was bought, and then almost everybody that worked at the paper kind of just over the weekend, just like with the LA Weekly, was laid off. Editors and writers, and they've these buyers have also bought another Southern California newspaper, the Antelope Valley Press. I think they have some in Kern County too, and they've also bought different papers, the Lodi News Sentinel, Rhode Island Suburban Newspapers Group. These are all differently named corporations that they're starting in order to buy up local newspapers in different areas. So this is just a fun little scandal in the making for all my scandal heads out there. If you want to follow the acquisition of local papers by private equity, this is a fun one.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely private equity groups where their philosophy is like distressed assets and like small publishers mm-hmm. are a category of distressed asset they like to invest in.
Yeah.
It's just weird
and
when you're
like, buy
and fire everybody
and destroy.
Right. But it's also unnerving. It kind of suggests a larger, weird, like unknown purpose when they're like changing their name every time they buy one. Like
yeah,
they don't
to, well,
want
just to make it
to
look
know.
Like it's not a monopoly.
Right.
Not
right.
a weird, like, you know, strategy to acquire local newspapers in small, you know, and I'm most concerned, obviously, you know, just because of my proximity to all the ones being bought in Southern California and in the Central Valley, because those are pretty high risk areas for poor people. There are just a lot of poor people who are being communities are being destroyed by private equity owning all the agriculture in California.
Right.
So this is just one of those things that I like to keep a lookout for because they start putting the same stories in all these local papers and you know, Journalism Dying is a fun little show to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, and the people being screwed over manifests itself anywhere from like, you know, people being paid shittily or people losing their job mm-hmm. to things like using chemicals that are banned that like get mixed up with the dust when they dry out.
And yeah.
Now everybody in Sacramento has like respiratory problems because of like
because of
chemicals
farming in the Central Valley.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. Farming shit that people did. So it's pretty fucking terrifying. Let's come back and talk about 7-Eleven Slurpees, y'all. all right. We'll be right back.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and 7-Eleven is delivering Slurpees to park benches.
Or other places.
Yeah, or one of the hot spots. So this is something that Domino's innovated recently, where you could basically order a Domino's pizza as long as you were in one of, you know, in the case of 7-Eleven, I think it's 200,000 hotspot locations where it can be like a park bench, it can be Venice Beach, and they will deliver to you. You don't have to be at your house.
But you do have to have the 7-Eleven app, so that's going to be a no for me.
That's going to be, yeah, exactly. I think I've learned enough about like apps on phones being able to like track you and do horrible shit.
I do have the 7-Eleven.
Do you really?
I don't know how to use it though. I go to 7-Eleven like 3 times a day.
Do you really?
I love 7-Eleven.
Do they have a rewards card?
They do, but I don't know how to use it.
And you have the app, and you also don't know how to use it?
No, because they're like, you can only use it, like you get like a free coffee, but you have to use the app, and I don't know how to use the app.
Oh, you're probably sitting on millions of dollars in unclaimed
coffees. But I do have them scan my card.
Good.
Nice. So I've got all these points in the bank.
If anyone's single.
If
anyone's single,
points.
I'm out there. With all the 7-Eleven points.
Yeah. They can deliver to us. On the first date.
Meet you on a park bench.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite things to get at 7-Eleven?
Oh, my God. Well, it's like, it's not good. Like, it's like...
Yeah.
I mean...
We didn't say what's good at 7-Eleven.
What are some of your favorite things?
Well, I think their coffee's good. I mean, that's just who I am. Like, I have a very low standard for coffee, and theirs is good for me. And so I'm there for coffee every morning.
Do you fuck with the fresh and ready?
The what?
The fresh and ready, those
stuff
like sandwiches.
On the rollers?
Yeah. No, not the stuff on the rollers. The sandwiches in the triangle boxes.
No.
Okay, nobody does but me, apparently.
Really?
I was like, I'll eat an egg
salad
out of a box. But everybody is like, I can't believe you ate that.
No, I've heard that actually recently. That. Somebody talking about the egg salad sandwiches at 7-Eleven.
Might have been me.
Like, that's right. It was you 5 seconds before we started rolling, actually.
I've talked about this on multiple podcasts.
My memory sucks.
I also, one day, I think it was my birthday, I was like, I'm going to buy a scratcher. And I won $200 on a scratcher.
Whoa!
And so I go every single day and buy a scratcher. Have I won anything? No.
Are you a 97-year-old woman?
Yep.
Going to 7-Eleven
every morning. I am a 97-year-old woman with
for
my
coffee and your scratcher.
Yep.
Do you guys
cinnamon roll or anything?
Cinnamon roll? No. I mean, I like those Lenny and Larry vegan cookies.
Those
sell
are pretty
them
good.
There. Mm. Yeah. So I fuck with one of those every once in a while.
Do you fuck with Slurpees?
You know, the last time I had a Slurpee, it was one of those things where I feel like I kind of need to leave the memory in my childhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of like Ace Ventura.
Slurpees are the Ace Ventura of beverages.
Because when I go back to it, I'm like, oh, this is too much. Like, when I was a kid, I really enjoyed it. Now it's like, oh, God.
Mm.
It's a great thing to do with Slurpees as an adult is, use them to shoplift. You can hide a candy bar in your Slurpee cup, cover it with Slurpee, pay only for the Slurpee. Buddy, you got a free candy bar.
Hey, and it's cold.
Yeah.
So no melting going on. Anyways, this seems somewhat unsustainable because people can just order one tiny thing to wherever they happen to be.
I mean, is there a minimum? There's no delivery minimum for 7,
maybe there
7
is.
Now?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is the future.
Isn't the point of 7-Eleven that it's close to you at all times?
Right. Yeah, that's the other thing.
Some places don't have them, though. I was out of town someplace doing a show recently, and I was looking for a 7-Eleven because I like need them. I can't remember where it was, but they didn't have them.
It's probably somewhere where they have some dumb bullshit like a Circle K.
Yeah, something like that. I don't mess with
Wawa.
That.
Wawa.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, and probably one of those, probably a place like that is not a 7-Eleven hotspot. as these places where they deliver are called.
God, I can't. I would love to meet the programmer who designed the 7-Eleven app.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure a lot of people making a lot of money off of that. Let's talk about Sylvester Stallone.
Why not?
There's plenty of reasons why not. But so this is just a stupid little story. But he has an event happening in England in the fall where it's like a black tie event. And you can pay $1,000 to take a selfie with him.
That's also my rate.
Wow.
For selfies.
Which seems like too much.
Well, Cameo.
Right.
That's
about
what I
Cameo,
said.
That's a whole thing.
Yeah.
But Cameo is different, right? Cameo is that like celebrities will record a message or like record a video mm-hmm. saying your name.
I guess. But it's like, you know, autographs are not a thing anymore.
Right.
But you know, now it's all about that selfie, which is, it's, I mean, it's important for people where they want those likes might be worth $1,000 to mm-hmm. some people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every man on Tinder in LA has a picture with Bill Nye. I don't know why.
Oh,
but,
weird.
But they all do. They've all met Bill Nye at some point.
Mm-hmm. The sexiest of celebrities.
Yeah. It's like the,
I saw him at a Panera Bread one time.
Did you take a picture with him?
No.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
Because you didn't want anyone to know you were at Panera.
Yeah, that was basically it. But yeah, people are just like I'm definitely not a celebrity, but you know, as a drag queen, like that's a photo op. So like when we do shows, sometimes it's just like people want the pictures so bad and it's like, can't we talk or something?
Yeah.
You know, it's like all people care about is the picture. And then it's like, okay, we got it. I'm done.
Right.
It's like when people take pictures of themselves in front of the art at museums. They're like, I went to this museum, and then they post like 10 pictures just of them in front of different pieces of art. And you're like, yeah, I get it.
Right.
I get you were at the museum.
Right.
You know what I don't get is like when people take pictures of things that they're not in, like not because they're photographers, just like they just want to take pictures of things. Like sometimes, you know, we live in like a tourist area. So sometimes you're walking, and it's like they're taking a picture of a building, and it's like, can't you just Google image the Grauman's Chinese Theater? Like
every
you don't.
Every tourist has to take their own picture of the thing.
Yeah.
You know, even though, like, what is it? To show your family? Your family can Google Grauman's Chinese Theater.
Exactly.
It's a real mom move, I feel like, to do that, or a dad move.
To prove that you were there.
Yeah.
Prove you saw it.
Who is, like, a celebrity you would be impressed by somebody getting a selfie with or have been impressed by? Besides Bill Nye, obviously.
I guess like Bjork.
Yeah, Bjork would be.
If you got a selfie with Bjork, I'd be pretty impressed.
Okay.
Sia.
Yeah, with just full face.
Yeah,
shown.
Full wig. Oh, you can just take a picture. Sia's like the opposite of, or Sia's like Banksy, where you could take a picture with anybody and be like, "It's Sia," and like no one can really say, "No, it's not."
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I don't know.
Sia, you guys.
The ghost of Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. You know, she's buried at the Veterans Graveyard over in like Westwood, like right by UCLA.
Really?
You know that big graveyard?
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that weird that she's there?
Yeah, why is she there? So she can
keep
performing
Hugh Hefner,
for the troops?
Too. Yeah, I guess
what?
So. Yeah, very
they
strange.
They say she haunts the Roosevelt.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Very intriguing.
Should we go look for her?
Yes.
Do you have any equipment? Do you have ghost hunting equipment?
No.
We should get some.
I know. I'm supposed to go ghost hunting really soon.
Where are you going?
I want to go to the Queen Mary in Long Beach, that big ship that's like super haunted.
Ooh.
I don't know. I want to go anywhere. Like, I want to go to all places, but I'm going to do it in full drag, just like I'm in right now with this long gown on. And
gorge.
I just have to like put extra pins in my wig because if a ghost snatches my wig, I'm not messing around.
Think about what they could do with it.
I mean, all of a sudden you see my wig floating like it's on a head.
All sorts of hijinks.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Toy Story 4.
Oh, yeah, what's this all about?
Been waiting the whole time for this.
Conservatives are terrified of the sexual politics in Toy Story 4.
Finally.
But first, I do want to let everybody know I am conflicted about my feelings about Toy Story 4. I saw Toy Story 4 over the weekend, and I think it's my favorite movie ever.
Are you serious?
Whoa. I loved it.
Better
it
than the
really
last
good.
One?
Yeah, I think it is. It's like, I thought it was really funny. I don't know how
I
feel.
Like it. It's funny.
It feels so weird to be like, I loved Toy Story 4. Because, like, 4 is a high number.
Yeah,
like, 4s
yeah.
are never good
but,
unless
know,
it's Fast
no
and
one
the
thought
Furious.
3 was going to be good.
Right.
And it was.
3 yeah. was, oh my God, that messed me up.
Yeah. Rocky 4 is good.
Also, like, Land Before Time 4 is also the best one.
Oh, is it?
People,
okay.
Yeah, you know.
I don't feel quite as bad.
Yeah.
Wait, so you think it's your favorite movie of all time?
That's how I felt leaving the theater. I really
But keep in
it.
Mind, you have not seen The Intruder.
Right. So that is fair. That is absolutely fair.
Plus you're a dad.
Yeah, I'm a dad, and I did spend the week leading up to Toy Story 4 watching Toy Stories 1 through 3 with my 3-year-old. And those
awesome.
Were like his first movies.
Aww.
So it was... There's definitely, and I was out of town when I saw it, and I was like missing my kids. So.
All right, you're having some feelings about
yeah.
that are also about your children.
Aww. So anyways, the rest of this episode is going to be about how I miss my kids. but yeah, it's really good. Anyways, it's really funny. There are Key and Peele voiced characters
nice.
Who are Aww. Really, really great.
Well, there's a lot of dolls coming alive movies in theaters right now.
Right, I know.
Annabelle's about to come out. There's a Child's Play. I watched Child's Play the other night, and it was not my favorite movie of all time.
The new Child's Play?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I thought it was, like, I thought it was okay. It was
fun. Is there going to be a new Chucky soon?
There's supposed to be a TV show, I heard.
Oh, what?
A new Chucky?
Yeah.
What?
That I feel is, like I saw no, a billboard for a new Chucky.
Yeah, that's
Child's
Play.
Oh, that's Child's Play. Okay.
Yeah. But this is like completely different because like in the original, it's like he's like a murderer that puts you know himself into a doll. Like this is just like
he's just a doll.
Yeah, there's a story to it, but it's not the same character. It's not the same like soul of a serial
right.
killer.
Original Chucky was more Freddy Krueger-ish. Like he was like had attitude. Like
yeah.
he. Wait, does this one have attitude?
Yeah, he's got a little bit of attitude.
Because he looks kind of dead-eyed.
He's
like,
more of like an Alexa or like a home device.
Oh,
in this. It's like more of a robot.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Yeah, I was wondering if that is why we're obsessed with like living doll. Haunting movies or just living doll movies is because we secretly are afraid that like Alexa is, you know, has a personality
and
is conscious.
That theory carries some water.
Yeah.
I would go with that. Yeah. They're these little objects that aren't supposed to be human, but kind of are, like they have names and they are always around us listening.
Yeah.
Well, there is this thing where the reason that people are so afraid of clowns and mannequins and dolls and ventriloquist dummies is because it looks human, but you can tell it's not. So
right.
that really messes with a lot of people's brains.
Right, the uncanny valley.
Yeah, the uncanny valley. And so maybe that also, a theory, applies to, you know, like Alexa, where you can just
personal
hear the
robots.
Voice.
Right.
Yeah, it sounds like a person, but
yeah,
it's not.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think so. I get weirded out when Alexa, like, you know how, like, if you're rude to Siri or Alexa, they're, like, programmed to kind of be sassy?
Yeah.
And I don't like that. It's too human.
Right.
Yeah.
And you like to, I've seen you interact with your Alexa, and you are, like, literally abusive.
I'm verbally abusive towards my Alexa.
It is shocking.
I'm still using a Furby.
Yeah.
I
psychologically
nice.
Abuse my Furby, yes.
Yes. the thing that is bothering conservatives about Toy Story 4 is that conservatives think that Forky, the character that is a spork voiced by Tony Hale. This is another thing about Toy Story movies, just as an aside, they always go for the like philosophically like weird question. So like in 3, it was like, what happens to toys when they are no longer useful?
Mm-hmm.
That's like a really dark thought that
yep.
I'm assuming they were hoping kids wouldn't have in the first couple movies. And then they're like, no, it'll be the whole movie in 3. Well, in 4, it's like, at what point does a inanimate object turn into something that is sentient? And they have like a really fucked up toy that a kid made, like turned sentient, and it's just like, kill
oh,
me.
Oh, that's Sporky.
Yeah, that's Sporky.
So Sporky is just like a spork that
that
like,
a kid
stuck
put
some...
googly eyes on.
Okay, and so now it's a toy.
Right, now it's a toy,
oh,
and so it comes to life. And
what makes us human?
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, but like, do all forks and sporks, are they, until
no.
you put a googly eye on them?
The googly eye is the thing.
It gives
it a
whole
soul
and everything.
Isn't that
wait,
weird?
It's not love or whatever? It's not the love of a child, it's the googly eyes?
No, see, that's what a lesser franchise would do.
Yeah, that's why the Velveteen Rabbit failed as a franchise. Yeah. No sequels there. The rabbit burns.
No, this is, it's just, I think, the intention of creating, you know what, maybe it is, like the kid imbuing it with its imagination is what makes it alive or some bullshit like that. But
probably the googly eyes.
Either way, the Sporky is like, kill me, put me out of my misery.
So Sporky is trans.
So that is what the conservative community is saying. We actually have a video of somebody.
Wait. So they think Sporky is trans, and in the movie, Sporky is like, kill me, I'm an abomination.
Well, so it's more of a like baby, essentially.
Oh, okay.
Where it's
okay.
Like, I don't know anything. And then Woody has to like teach him what it is to be a toy. And then, but Sporky falls in love with a girl Sporky at the end. And it's very heteronormative, actually. But this is a conservative reviewing the character of Sporky based only on the movie poster for Toy Story 4. He's just standing next to it and looking at the character of Sporky and the fact that there is a rainbow sticker on Sporky's foot.
I want to show you why this is a transgender character. It's not that it's a fork or a spoon, but it's a fork and a spoon together. And look at the little hidden symbol right down here on its
a rainbow stick.
Foot. A little rainbow pride. See that?
Hilarious.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is being propagated upon our kids. And I told you a long time ago, they sneak this stuff into kids' movies because they want to get their propaganda out there. So I'm going to ask you to share this. Let other parents know.
Yeah. So I honestly, for the first half of that video, assumed he was joking, but he then refers back to earlier videos where he has talked about how Disney is trying to brainwash our children into being progressives and accepting trans people. But there was also a, like, Onion article, not an actual Onion article, but there's a conservative satire site, which is something that apparently doesn't work because they wrote an article.
No one can tell when they're joking.
So they wrote an article where it had a fake tweet from Disney that said, "Great news for the LGBTQAIP community. A little bird told us that Woody will be openly bisexual in Toy Story 4. He's got a friend in him. Hashtag Toy Story 4.
This is from at Disnap.
At Disnap, yes. And then they made it at Disney in another one. But this is from NPC Daily. I believe that stands for not PC Daily. But conservatives were fooled. They were like, it just confused a bunch of conservative people who threatened to boycott Toy Story 4. There was tweets from people being like, boycott Toy Story 4. They've decided to make this children's movie PC by making Woody openly bisexual. And just a lot of anger from people on the right. And then Newsweek wrote an article about it being like acting like it was a media hoax, which it never was. It was just a bad piece of satire and conservative.
That got passed around as reality.
Yes. So anyways, for whatever reason, this is another movie that conservatives decided to bring into the culture war and boycott. And
well, actually, if you read my fan fiction, you'll find out that not only is Woody openly bisexual, but all the other characters are too.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's... I love your fan fiction.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And Toy Story 5 is lit. I keep sending it to Pixar, and they keep returning them unopened.
Well, Roz, it has been a pleasure having you here.
Thanks
on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you?
Well, my dream since childhood is to become a celebrity on Instagram. So follow me at Roz Dresfalez. It's all Z's. And then please listen to my podcast. You know, we have spooky things happen. We've had really cool guests like Elvira Mistress of the Dark, a lot of famous drag queens and comedians and all kinds of people where we talk about their real life ghost stories. It's called Ghosted by Roz Dresfalez. And you'll find out more on my Instagram.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, I found one that it just cracked me up. I don't even know if my best friend, Sam Pancake, at J Sam Pancake, he just It's just very much our humor, but it made me laugh. I don't think it's even real. Whatever. He said, it's that time of year again. One of the worst people I've ever known gets their own TV show, O'Clock PM. I don't know who he's referencing.
I like it because it's a broad subtweet.
Yes.
It's the kind of subtweet that sends you running for the trades.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like we know so many people that are just, there's so many platforms and so many people we know. It's like, why don't we have a show?
Before we sign off, I got to know, do you sell the shirt you're wearing?
Oh, yeah. This is my shirt that says
it's
Ross
a shirt that says Ross Dress Velez in the Ross font, and it's really good.
I mean, it looks like it.
But it's not, right?
I do sell them. I'm. It's on dragqueenmerch.com.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sarah June, it's been a pleasure having you.
It's been a pleasure being here.
Guest co-host today. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at HeySarahJune, HeySarahJune. You can go to my website, HeySarahJune.com. You can come to my comedy show July 20th, Saturday in Los Angeles. Go to HighPriestessComedy.com for details. We have Sarah Schaefer, Viva Siegel, Brody Reed, and Irene Too. It's going to be a great show. And I got a dang tweet that I like.
Oh, hell yeah.
I combed through all the tweets. I read all the tweets, and this is the best one. You ready? It's from Rajat underscore Suresh. For sale, baby shoes. I've worn them a couple times. I like that one.
I like it, too.
He likes it a lot.
Yeah. A tweet I've been enjoying. If Princess Diana were alive today, she would be dating Pete Davidson.
Fuck
Paige,
you, dude.
At Boner Wizard. That is a bummer.
That is a bummer for Pete Davidson.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we write out on. Super producer Anna Hosnier, do you have a song that you would like us to write out on?
No, just kidding, I do. I'm going to
recommend
this song from 1980s Egypt. I heard it on Rami. It's Habibi Funk, and the artist is Al Masarin, and the song is Mafachile. It's a really good jam, and it's some very good Habibi Funk. I love it. It's like funk out of Egypt from the 1980s, and it's damn good. And as Miles loves to say, your big toe will burst out of your shoe and hit you in the eye because it'll be enjoying itself so much.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah, that is word for word what he always says. He nailed it.
Good night.
Yeah. I just realized that we didn't talk about the fact that there is a very credible rape allegation against the president. We will obviously talk about that on tomorrow's Daily Zeitgeist.
How many do you want, Jack?
I know. It's so many. It's just crazy to me.
Why are you reporting on a story from 4 years ago
that
the president has credible rape allegations against him?
Anyways, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow with more podcasts. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
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 Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.